You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
See, growing up, church was now and then. I thought God was real, but I never did allow him in. I hated waking up Sunday and showering, like, gotta go to church. Really, Mom? Wow, again? A young boy, more focused on the temporary. And deeper thoughts about my purpose? That was secondary. Just trying to take the pretty girls on a date and hope that you could watch a movie in the basement. It's all fun and games until you involve your heart. Give it away just to watch it get broke apart. See, you were close, but with time you grow apart. A fake smile on your face, though, they can't know it's hard. So she's gone, and I'm looking for the newer thing. Up late, looking at computer screens. No one can know, keep the history deleted, know it's wrong. Try and stop, but the actions get repeated. See, I was empty, trying to fill the void, but my methods never worked. Like they were unemployed. I acted like it was cool, like I wasn't annoyed. Tried to ignore it, but it's something that you can't avoid. I kept everything bottled up inside of me. But I came to find out the world lied to me. Trying everything it said would fulfill me, but I was lost, just looking for the real me. Till one day I couldn't take it anymore. See, God had been knocking. I opened up the door. I confessed all my shame and my secrets. He told me he could take it. I didn't have to keep it. He said, my son, you're forgiven. That's why I've died and I've risen. So you could be free from that prison that you live in. See, all this time you've been looking for love, but I've always been there, and I'm more than enough. So I stopped waiting. I made the decision. He gave me a new life, new goals, new vision, and don't get me wrong, I'm far from perfect, but improving every day, and I'm living with a purpose. Inside of me, there's no more hope. I have peace, love, and joy in my soul. He never leaves me. He stays close by. I found the real me, a son of the Most High. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me here. I'm so honored to be here. And when I speak, I like to use a lot of visuals, pictures, and I like for you to get to know me. So this is me, my beautiful wife, Abigail. She's here. My oldest son, Titus, and my youngest, Griffin. And we live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's even colder there than it is here. And my oldest son, Titus, he has a little table in our house. And that's where he eats a lot of his meals. He's only 2, and he's still a little bit territorial. And so Griffin wants to be where the action is. And he crawls up. And he climbs up on the table because he just wants to be part of the crew. And Titus, being territorial, gives him a nice stiff arm right about to the cheek, neck area, and knocks him over. And then Griffin starts crying, and if you're not a parent yet, that's what you have to look forward to. It's a lot of fun. But I tell that story because Griffin is learning the truth of one of my all-time favorite sport quotes. The great boxer Mike Tyson once said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Griffin, he's got this plan, he wants to hang out, then he gets punched in the mouth and the plan goes away. In boxing, you make a game plan. You figure out what approach you're going to take, how you're going to gain an advantage. But when you go out in the ring and you get punched in the mouth, all of a sudden fight or flight kicks in. You have to adapt, you have to change and move forward, or else you'll be defeated. And Mike Tyson explained later on that quote is really about life. He said we all have dreams, goals, aspirations, plans, and then life punches us in the mouth. And how do you adapt? How do you respond? And so I had this plan when I was 11 years old. My team won the local championship baseball game. My coach handed me the game ball after the game. He said, you know, I truly believe someday you could play pro baseball. And so that pretty much became my plan, and I put all my value, my worth, my identity, my energy, my purpose into playing sports. And it was everything to me. But then my senior year, something happened where instead of getting better, I started to get weaker, to get slower, and my performance wasn't up to par. And I found myself on the bench my senior football season, and all my worth, all my identity, all my value, all my purpose was crushed. It felt like life had punched me. But during that time, my coaches had invited myself and my friends to a place called Young Life. And at Young Life, we began to hear about Jesus, and we began to study in the Bible. And I learned something that I would like to show you with an illustration. And so I'm actually going to need one brave volunteer. So don't everyone jump at once. Give me a hand for a brave volunteer to come up here. There's one in the blue. I think it's blue. Yep, you. Come on up. Yes. What is your name? Andy, give it up for Andy again, one time. Andy, thank you for coming up. I have a simple job for you. This is a pen. This is a bag lunch that you may have brought to elementary school. And Andy, you're gonna take apart this pen. And when you get a piece, you're gonna hold the piece up. Everyone in the audience is gonna count. So you say one, then you're going to put the piece in the bag. Okay, can you do it? You think? Okay, let's just see how it goes. Okay? Okay. Nice. Yeah, that can just be, yeah. Okay. Any more pieces or if that's all one piece, that's fine. Okay, yep. Okay, I'm gonna take this bag and shake it up. Andy, I want you to tell me, in the bag, do you find a pen or just pieces? Pieces. If you thought I was gonna do magic, I'm sorry. Andy, I want to give you a copy of my book, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. You can sit down. Thank you so much. So, like I said, sorry if you thought the magic was coming. It's not. Because what I learned is this pen, it did not come to be by accident or at random, but actually must have had someone create it and design it, and therefore that somebody had a purpose for the pen. what about you and what about me? The pen was how many pieces? 4. You and I are trillions of pieces intricately woven together and designed. We can't be here by accident or at random. We must have a designer. We must have a creator, and therefore we must have a purpose. And so in the Bible, Ephesians 2 puts it this way. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us. In this verse, we find out we do have a creator. We do have a designer. We are his handiwork. And he gave us a purpose to do the good things that he prepared for us. And he saved us by grace through faith. He loves us. He forgives us. He invites us into a relationship with him. And when I learned that, it changed everything for me. So I began to read the Bible every day and pray every day, and I went to Bethel University in Minnesota, and chapel was not required, but I went 3 times a week. I paid attention, I took notes, I embraced living in Christian community and fellowship with accountability and confession, and then I got involved leading ministry. And as I got involved with ministry, I began doing spoken word poetry and eventually making music. And so I sort of came up with a new plan. And my plan was, I'm going to be the next Andy Mineo. Don't laugh at my outfit. I know. My plan was, I'm going to be a Christian rapper. I'm going to use what God has given me and use music to tour the world and share the gospel. And after I drop an album, Lecrae is going to sign me, and that's the game plan. But then, as you saw in the video, something happened around when I was 24. The plan was all going well. I was married, bought a house, had a great job doing Young Life, coaching varsity football, and was building this music career, doing concerts, had CDs and merch, and was on the right track, but everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. The one thing not right was my health, and I had an inexplicable loss of balance, coordination, would feel really tired, dizzy, and I finally went to find out what was wrong, and long story short, was diagnosed with the rare disease, Friedreich's ataxia, or FA for short, and I was told I've had FA my whole life. My whole life has slowly been taken away, my physical abilities, and I thought, okay, well, now my whole life makes sense up to this point. But then they told me there is no treatment. It's only going to get worse. Eventually, you'll lose your ability to talk, potentially, and you'll be in a wheelchair, and you'll have a shortened life expectancy. And that was pretty difficult here at 24 when I felt like I had a plan. I had a plan, and now here life was punched me in the mouth again. And I wondered, like, well, this God that created me, that has his purpose and a plan for me, like, is he still with me, or what's going on? But I found in my Bible, life punching you in the mouth is not unique to me. Jesus Jesus says in John 16, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Another translation says you will have tribulation. Jesus promises in this life you will have trouble. You will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So how can we take heart? Well, good thing we also have a blueprint for that. In Luke 6, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me, who hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. Its destruction was complete. Any physics, engineering in the house? Okay, I see a couple. Okay. So you know better than me that if you're building a house, the first thing you do is lay the foundation. And the foundation is the most important part, and it holds everything together. But when the house is built, you can't even see the foundation. But it's still working, it's still holding it all up. And in our lives, I think too often we're too worried about our house, our appearance, our success, how much money we may have, how many social media followers we have, our performance, how we look on the outside. Meanwhile, we can neglect the foundation, what's on the inside. But the foundation is what can hold everything together through the storm. And I just wonder, in this room, what storms are you facing in life? What storms have you faced? What storms will you face? What punches is life going to throw at you? And do you want to have a firm foundation that can endure the storm? Jesus gives a blueprint. He says, come to me, hear my words, and put them into practice. And if you do that, you'll build the foundation. Because the reality is, the storm will come. And in my life, I got some pretty bad news. And I had to ask myself, in the face of bad news, do you still believe the good news? Because the reality is, I was born with an error in my genetic code. And over time, that creates a lack of a certain protein, and then that unfolds in symptoms. So you can look now, you can see I have symptoms, you can see a lack of balance, coordination, somewhat slurred speech. These are all symptoms that you can't see. There's something in my very genetic code that's not right. And when you look at the world today, you can see symptoms. Turn on the news, you'll see all sorts of symptoms of brokenness. You can look at your own life, probably, and see symptoms of brokenness with relationships, with God, with others, and with yourself. Well, what we don't often see is the underlying root cause that we were born with a heart. Try turned away from God. And that is the real disease. And if there were a cure for my disease, for FA, I would take it in a heartbeat. I would take it. I would tell everyone I knew about it. But there is a cure to the bigger issue, named Jesus. And the question is, are we taking full advantage of it? Too many people either don't know it's there, they know it's there, they don't do anything with it, or they know it's there, they may take a little bit for themselves and leave it at that. But Jesus is the cure that we can fully embrace, that we can spread to everyone we know. And so I look at my life now and I see what Joseph in the Bible meant. And Joseph said, well, we'll get to what he said. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own family. He was falsely accused of assault. He was put in prison. In prison, he helped people. He made promises to him, then they forgot about him. Joseph had some real storms, some real punches. But God, in his providence, took Joseph and made him second in command of all of Egypt and used his position to save his people. And Joseph said, oh no. There it is. He said, you intended to harm me, talking to his brothers, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I can look at my life and see I've had some real challenges, some real difficulties, and a lot of hardship. But God will even use the brokenness. He'll even use the punches, the storms, for his glory and for our good when we submit to him. And so I just want to ask you today, are you coming to Jesus? Are you hearing his words, getting in his word? And are you putting it into practice? And if so, you're building a firm foundation that will endure the storms. And if not, you're not. And so I'm going to end with one more spoken word, if that's okay with you. I did put everything of my life in much more detail in this book. And I know that if you were to read it, it would bless your life or anyone that you'd want to share it with. Whether or not you want a book, I'll be out there somewhere at a table. I would love to connect with you. Would love to connect online, shoot me a message, whatever it is. But I want to say thank you so much for having me, for giving me your attention. And with that, we'll play that video. I'm looking at a Bible full of torn pages, like, do you really care for me? And are you really there for me? I've had a lot of people say that they're going to say a prayer for me, but nothing changes, so I got questions. They say in the hard times, we get taught lessons, but I'm sick of all those cliches. and I've heard it all before, and I need something more these days. Like, can't you see that I'm hurting? And truth is, me depression been flirting, and hopelessness calls every night and every morning. I don't know how long I could keep ignoring. Storm is raging, they say wait for a rainbow, like I'm some kind of halo, but I don't have an angel. I lay awake in a bed full of sorrow, wondering if I have strength to make it to tomorrow. I know my time is borrowed, but sometimes I wish it would run out. It's so cloudy, I don't even see the sun out. And I'm just praying for healing, wondering if you hear me, or if my prayers just hit the ceiling. I'm just praying for healing, wondering if you hear me, or if my prayers just hit the ceiling. They say that April showers bring the flowers in May, but I feel like I've been rained on for over a year straight. I've cried so many tears that my eyes dried out, wondering if God hears times that I've cried out. Like, can you change my situation? He said, why? You're the one that needs changing. And all you're focused on is darkness and not my light. When did I ever tell you? Should walk by sight. That's never been how I operate. I never said it would be easy, still you said you would cooperate, but I did say that I'd be with you in the midst of this, and I haven't left your side, not even for a little bit. You prayed for strength, right? No one told you? The toughest battle gets fought by the strongest soldier. When you need someone to cry on, you've always had my shoulder. Your biggest problem is you go about it like a loner. That's why I put some people in your path that I knew you'd need, and why I put some verses in your Bible that I knew you'd read. So you tell me, were your prayers neglected, or was the answer just different than the one that you expected? So you tell me, were your prayers neglected, or was the answer just different than the one that you expected? I know God has a purpose. If it wasn't for my trials, I never would have written these verses. If everything in my life was perfect, then really I would have no reason to worship. Because you don't know what healing is till you've had a broken heart. And light shines brighter when you come out of the dark. And all my pain just made my spirit unbreakable. And all my doubt just made my faith unshakable. See, my story is something only God could write. I wouldn't know my purpose if I never had to fight this fight. There's a reason I've endured all those sleepless nights, so I can tell you everything is gonna be alright, cause heaven is my home. Earth is only temporary. You don't have to cry when you lay me in that cemetery. I can say that truthfully, cause I'll know I stood for something on the day they read my eulogy. One of God's soldiers. You could bet I'm on the roster, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'll press on, whatever storm I may weather, cause for those who love God, all things work together. One of God's soldiers, you could bet I'm on the roster, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'll press on, whatever storm I may weather, cause for those who love God, all things work together. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.